just a little lower than God. You hear that? There's God, and there's human beings just a little lower than God. The audacity to think that, right? Last week, we were exploring Celtic spirituality. This week, I'm going to tell a story of, that comes out of Hawaii. And there are a lot, I think there are a lot of connections, and this is one of them, right? And I just want to sort of pause and think about, I wonder what Jesus would do with indigenous people, like the Celts or the Hawaiians, who live so close to the earth and understand God's beauty in ways that we probably have forgotten. And we come back to when we go on vacation and we remember to look up and or stop and smell the roses. But people who live close to the earth live and breathe it every day, and they know the splendor of creation. And they probably know that they're just a little lower than God. You know, right? And one of the things we explored last week with Celtic spirituality was the split in the church ended up going one way with Augustine, who said, we're all sinful creatures. You know, you're really bad. And I, the church, have something to fix you. The Celts believed we are all basically good. We're born beautiful creations. They might have been more in line with Psalm 8. We're just a little lower than God. We're not horrible, despicable creatures. We're beautiful creatures, created in the image and likeness of God. So these things are very close, and I just think today we're going to walk with Jesus and the indigenous peoples and explore a faith that might have been there 1,000 years before Jesus, right? So I want to tell you, I'm going to teach you a word, the word, and I may not say it right, you can correct me, Ho'oponopono. How's that? Yeah. Ho'oponopono. Try it. Very good. That's a, buy that. I'd order that from you. In case you need a cheat sheet, it's right here on your on the insert. Ho'oponopono. So that's the word. There's 10 words on that insert, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let me tell you a story. I'm going to read it so I get a lot of the details right. So pardon me for boring you by reading to you, but I might read it. I might break away because that's what I do. More than 30 years ago in Hawaii, at the Hawaii State Hospital, there was a special ward, a clinic for the mentally ill criminals. People who had committed extremely serious crimes were assigned there, either because they had very deep mental disorder or because they needed to be checked to see if they were sane enough to stand trial. Sounds like some places I've been, quite honestly. They had committed murder, rape, kidnapping, or such crimes. According to a nurse that worked there in those years, the place was so bleak that not even the paint would stick to the walls. Might have had something to do with the humidity as well, but everything was decaying, terrifying, repulsive. No day would pass without a patient inmate attacking another inmate or a member of the staff. Or escaping. Do you guys know this place? Yeah. Is it really worth?
Yes, for 35 years.
Okay.
Murders, rapes, and serial killers were my
patients. Right on, okay. The people working there were so frightened that they would walk close to the walls. I'll bet you didn't do that. Maybe you did.
I didn't ever turn my, I walked in a circle because I never wanted to turn my back on anybody. But really? I never got hurt.
Okay.
To my credit, I never got hurt.
Okay.
In those years.
So you had to be very careful.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so people were shackled. More than once, this wouldn't stop an aggression. The inmates would never be brought outside to get fresh air because their relentlessly threatening attitude. The scarcity of staff was a chronic occurrence. Nurses, wardens, employees would prefer to be on sick leave most of the time in order not to confront such a depressive and dangerous environment. Again, it sounds like a place I've been. Was just there this week, actually. Enters Dr. Hugh Lim. Any Doctor Who fans? I love that there's a Dr. Hugh. Did he show up in a TARDIS, I wonder? Anyway, one day, a newly appointed clinical psychologist, Dr. Stanley Hugh Lim, arrived at the ward. The nurses rolled their eyes.
Yeah.
another one. Bracing themselves for one more guy that was going to bug them with new theories and proposals to fix the horrid situation, who would walk away as soon as things became unpleasant, around a month later, usually. However, this new doctor wouldn't do anything like that. Actually, he didn't seem to be doing anything at all in particular, except coming in and being always cheerful and smiling in a very natural, relaxed way. He wasn't even particularly early in arriving every morning. From time to time, he would ask for the files of the inmates. He never tried to see them personally, though. Apparently, he just sat in the office and looked at their files. I've seen YouTube, or watched hours of YouTube video of this guy, and he tells this story. He's like, he says, yeah, I just cleaned every day. I thought he was the janitor or something. He said, nope, I'd read those files. He would notice his reactions to their stories and their conditions, and he would say this prayer. He called it cleaning. I thought he was the janitor. I wasn't sure what this guy was doing. Anyway, he started this weird thing called Ho'oponopono. Have any of you heard of this? I know some of you have heard of it. You've heard of it? Just as an aside, we had friends over for dinner last night, two other couples, or six of us at the table, and Lynn mentioned, yeah, Paul's doing Hawaii tomorrow, something Ho'oponopono. They, oh, Ho'oponopono. And all six of the people at the table knew, had heard of Ho'oponopono. Wow. Okay, it was new to me. So he started doing this weird thing called Ho'oponopono, and little by little, things started to change in the hospital. One day, somebody would try again to paint those walls, and they actually stayed painted, making the environment more palatable. The garden started being taken care of, some tennis courts were repaired, and some prisoners that up until then would never be allowed to go outside started playing tennis with the staff. Other prisoners would be allowed not to be shackled anymore, or would receive less heavy pharmacological drugs. More and more obtained permission to go outside unshackled without causing trouble to the hospital's employees. Did you happen to live through some of this? I mean,
I knew him.
You knew him. Okay. Wow. In the end, the atmosphere changed so much that the staff was not on sick leave anymore. Actually, more people than needed wished now to work there. Prisoners started gradually to be released. Dr. Hugh Lin worked there close to 4 years. In the end, there remained only a couple of inmates that were relocated somewhere else, and the clinic for the mentally insane was closed. True? Wow. So what did Dr. Hugh Lin do to the patients, and how did he treat them that the results were so spectacular? He treated them humanly. And with respect. This says he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to them or with them. Except looking at their files, he only tried to heal himself, applying an old traditional community problem-solving system from Hawaii called Ho'oponopono. It was adapted to individuals by his teacher, the late Hawaiian sage Morna Nalamaku Simeona. And what was he doing to himself? In his own words, I was simply healing the part of me that created them. Does that make sense to anybody? It kind of does and it doesn't. Right? Huh?
That's humbling.
It is humbling. Here's an important point. He says, simply put, Ho'oponopono is based on the knowledge that anything that happens to you or that you perceive, the entire world where you live, is your own creation, and thus it is entirely your responsibility. 100%, no exceptions. Your boss is a tyrant? That's your responsibility. Your children are not good students? Your responsibility. There are wars, and you feel bad because you are a good person and a pacifist. The war is your responsibility. You see that children around the world are hungry and malnourished and starving. Their want is your responsibility. No exceptions. Literally, the world is your world. It is your creation, as Dr. Hugh Lin points out. Didn't you notice, I love this, I hear this in AA a lot too. Didn't you notice that the one consistent thing about all your problems is that you're there? Like, wow, all these people I have problems with, you know, the one thing that's really consistent is I'm part of that. I'd rather not deal with that sometimes. He says, it's your responsibility. Here's an important point. Let me make this carefully. he keeps using this word, your responsibility. It's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. Right? It's not my fault that my daughter, you know, struggles with mental health issues. But there's part of me that every time I know of her struggles, I do something inside. And rather than heal it, a lot of times I hang on to it. Or I worry about it. I obsess about it. I keep it. I hold on to it. What if I did some cleaning? What if I learned how to clean, as he says? And so I didn't carry that with me everywhere I went. and there's a part of me that it really believes that somehow we're connected. And if I do my cleaning, it can only have positive effects on the universe. Here's a pause and a note. I'm going to jump over here to quantum physics for a minute, just because I read this little thing. And this is, it's fairly new, but it was 1997 when they did this experiment, and they split an atom in half, and half of it, and they put the other half 14 miles away. I don't know the details, but, you know, one lab here and one lab there. This is well documented. And they decided to do an experiment, and they spun this particle one way over here, and when they did that to this one, the one 14 miles away, guess what it did? The exact same thing. And the scientists were like, well, if these things are communicating to each other, they would have to be communicating faster than the speed of light. That's one possibility. Okay, that's mind-blowing in itself. Maybe that's happening. Or they're somehow connected. They're separated by 14 miles, but somehow the thing that's done to this atom, and it spins this way at this speed, and all of a sudden the one over here 14 miles away does the exact same thing. Somehow they're connected. To quote Albert Einstein, the universe is way more absurd than we thought, right? That's a paraphrase, I think, but he said something like that, didn't he? The universe is way more interesting, magnificent, than we ever believed or thought. So the reason I say that is, this just sounds kind of hooey-hooey and, you know, I don't know, but there's actually some quantum physics and some science behind it, too. And I don't doubt that this story is true, and we have an eyewitness here, apparently. so what other? I told this, I actually, this is really, I came across this, I don't remember when I came across it. Oh, I was on a retreat back in May, and somebody told this story, and she taught us this thing about Ho'oponopono. And I remember thinking, boy, I work out at the women's prison in Mitchellville, and I go into this one unit, not every day, but you know, at least once a month. And it would be the equivalent of the hospital for the criminally insane, because we don't have mental hospitals in Iowa. Thank you very much. We have prisons. But this is where the mentally ill are. and it's, you can walk in there and just feel, it's oppressive, and there are violent outbursts, and there's yelling, and there's a lot of, there's not a lot of steel. I mean, there's a lot of steel, but there's a lot of glass, and they're not bars like you might think of a prison, but there's a lot of what they call a fishbowl, right? This woman's back here under suicide watch, and she's in a fishbowl. It's all glass, and I would visit with the women out there, and I would just walk away, kind of take some of their, I feel like I needed a shower when I left there. I mean, the stories I heard were so upsetting, and the violence that they've lived through is so unfathomable. I would just feel like I needed to clean. Well, this kind of gives me a practice now that I can actually do. And I actually believe that this might, I don't know if I'll have the kind of success that Dr. Hugh did, but couldn't hurt. You know, and maybe I can have a positive effect and bring positive energy. So they break it down, Dr. Hugh and some others who have worked on this a lot, break it down into these 10 words, 4 statements. I love you, there's 3 words. I'm sorry, there's 2 words. The first half is 5 words. The second half is please forgive me and thank you, another 5 words, 3 and 2, 3 and 2. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. And what he says is, you say to this, to the part of you, the God part of you, right? It's the part of you that if the woman in H3 that I'm thinking of, you know, think back to those atoms, it's spinning this way, part of me is spinning that way too, because we're connected somehow. All of us are connected. When I think of my daughter and the atom that's spinning out of control this way, maybe the part of me that's spinning out. So I speak to the part of me that's the part of the divine part, the God part, the part that the psalmist says we're all angels. We're just a little lower than God. That means we have some power that we probably take for granted or ignore on most days. So you speak to that part and you say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. Isn't that something? It's so simple. But it's something that I've begun to try, and it's really changed the way I pray and think about how I can help the world, what I can do for the world. You know, some of you know me that I've always struggled with prayer that tells God to go fix this problem or tells God to go fix that problem. I can almost hear God saying, that's your responsibility. Why are you talking to me? Why don't you go? So this is actually a way for me to do what's my responsibility. It's not my fault that Syria is in war. It's not my fault that there are terrorist attacks in London or Paris or New York. But it's my responsibility to heal the brokenness in the world that I carry with me. And by doing that, I begin to heal the part that's broken in you and in them. And if we're all doing this work, if we're all cleaning, then just think, all the stuff, the oppressive, negative stuff that's in the world, I think, begins to be taken care of. The other thing I just want to comment about this, when I think about these words, these 10 words, these 10 beautiful, simple words, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. This is like every prayer that's ever been written. You notice that? I told this story out of the prison, and we had had a praise team visiting from a church, you know, just five or six people that usually do praise music in their church, and they came out and did it for our worship service out there. And I said, this is every praise song that's ever been written. There's like four praise songs that have been written. There's the one that says, I love you, and you repeat it about 8 times to the same tune, and then you throw in a bridge, and then you say, I love you 8 more times. That's one praise chorus. There's I'm sorry, there's the contrition, and the please forgive me. That's another praise song that gets sung every, you know, and you. There's actually a design to worship where you go from I love you to I'm sorry to please forgive me. And then, of course, there's the praise chorus that's thank you, thank you, thank you. And you sing that about 100 times, right? I'm not making fun of that, or well, maybe I am a little bit, but but I just think, isn't that something? That this is like every prayer. You think about the Serenity Prayer, you can think about the Lord's Prayer, you can think about every prayer that's ever been written could be simplified down to 10 words. Isn't that something? So I wanted you to have this in a way you could take with you, stick it on your refrigerator or put it on your computer, somewhere where you see it every day. and what I do is when I think of a situation that starts to unsettle me, then I speak to that and I say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. Have you tried this, Rita? You said you know it. Did it make a difference?
God has blessed me with being successful in teaching children.
Wow.
Or adults.
All right.
And that was my prayer for many, many years. And ironically, somewhere I was downsizing and I lost it. But of course, you didn't need to lose it because you memorized it.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, thanks for your story and testifying to that. Just one more quick story. This friend that we had for supper last night, one of them, Sid, Grew up in Carlisle, lived there his whole, he still lives there, lived there his whole life. You know, a farmer and a builder and construction guy. And he owned this piece of property and the city of Carlisle claimed it, eminent domain. They wanted to put a road through there and he was very upset about it. He sued the city, which the mayor at the time was a very good friend of his, right? They went to kindergarten together, so it's very emotional. And they finally came to an understanding, and the city bought a piece of land for him in exchange, and it worked out fine, but he used to drive by that place, and it was like his home. I mean, he had that land his whole life, and the city took it, but he would drive by that every day on his way to work. And, you know, he had resentment, and he had grief, and some anger, and all, just think of all the stuff. And he just started, I don't know where he heard this, but he would start saying, he just said, Ho'oponopono. Every day he would drive by. I don't know, do you know how that word translates? Ho'oponopono? Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, he did that, and to describe it, you know, and then one day he drove by, and it was like the anger, the resentment was just all gone. So just over time, the cleansing, the cleaning that needs to happen. So just think about that for your own life. What do you need to clean and be rid of, you know, and heal and seek forgiveness or offer forgiveness? You know, it's all there in that prayer. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. So I'm just so glad that I heard this story and that I've received these 10 words. And that I know that it works. I don't know how it works, but right, that's part of how prayer is too, right? We don't really know how it works. We just are grateful that it does work. Amen.